What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Hey everyone, it's Byron,
Josie
and Rose.
From B-Trans Support and Community, the peer support service ran by trans people for trans people right here in Newcastle. And this is What's the Tea? Today we're talking about Christmas and surviving it, I imagine, as a trans person.
Yes, surviving mainly.
So one of the main things about being trans at Christmas is kind of like gifts and gift giving and gift receiving.
Yes, yeah, holiday season, it's always up there.
Yeah, the one thing that I dread getting at Christmas is just a Lynx box.
Oh, yes.
It's always just Lynx Africa.
You see, yes. Now I would love that, but that's because I grew up thinking I was a woman, so.
Well, you see, the difficulty regardless is that they're pointlessly gendered either way you go. Mm. There is both for men and for women.
Speaking of that, the other year for Christmas, I got the Lynx for Her bundle.
Right. Interesting. That's interesting.
It didn't smell any different from the male stuff either.
Yeah, I'm sure it's no different at all. Oh, it was very much horrendous. Just marketing, and that's what makes it worse.
It was awful.
But obviously one of the reasons why that's so trash for trans people is because gender is something you're probably quite sensitive over, especially if you're around family, and particularly family that you might not be out to either, because you don't particularly see them frequently.
No, yeah.
So many things that go into that there. So any gift that is pointlessly gendered is almost immediately a no.
Unless they've said, oh, I really I really like this lush, glittery bath bomb.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then you're like, sure, but really, yeah.
I don't understand, like, gendered gifts. Like,
no, it's very pointless.
Like, I think my parents, was it my uncle and aunt? I think they got a him and hers Christmas set, a shirt that says Mr. Christmas.
Oh, yeah, and one of those. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand it. Like, who?
Not only is it cringe, but
that's so cringe on so many levels.
Because like that, they only wore it for like maybe 4 hours on Christmas Day, and
it's
then got
purely
got changed into their comfy clothes.
Purely performative.
It's I would something I like getting now though is stuff with my name.
Oh, yeah. That is affirming.
It's still really novel.
Yeah, obviously, conceptually, it's a chosen name. Yes. So getting things on it, with it on, is very pleasing, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I would imagine it gets annoying after a while where it's only that.
I suppose you do have to have a healthy mix.
Yeah, every gift is just the name and it's just something with it on.
15 different mugs, all of them say Byron.
Yeah. Like, no. But no, I feel like gift giving should just be like, just kind of what that person enjoys, rather than a gendered object.
Yes, very much so.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, from a very young age, parents will almost indoctrinate their children to an extent, you know, with either an action man or a Barbie.
Yeah, I've always found that really bizarre. I hated dolls as a kid.
I love dolls.
My favourite, my sisters loved dolls and I used to cut their hair off because I was a horrible, horrible older sibling.
That's so nasty.
Yeah, I know. And I loved my train set, and this is nerdy because I'm big into my science. I had my first chemists.
Oh yeah.
My first chemistry set. Uh-huh. And I used to run around and test all the liquids I could find, like with the litmus paper and stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh look, this is alkaline. That's fantastic. Yeah. But I never much liked because I use a mixture of for male female stuff, because for me I like how this smells. I like how this looks.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. And I've never really, even before I came out, I was never like, oh no, I got to do this. But yeah, pointlessly gendered stuff is pointlessly gendered.
Yeah. No, even still, my parents get me and my other siblings to write like Christmas lists.
Aww.
Because like, they're not really sure what to get us otherwise. Because like, it's just kind of random objects they find throughout the year. So I just write like just things I'm interested in, like a particular set of comic books or particular like collectibles. So they have a general idea of what to kind of get us instead of just getting a mug with my name on it.
My mother, as soon as she could just give us cash, she was like, yes, I don't have to do it.
As soon as it's justifiable to not give effort because children are more excited to buy money.
Oh, I don't know. I get quite excited when I get gift card or money nowadays.
Well, I always get, so I think edible things are good to get people as gifts, especially handmade edible stuff. So you can like handmade Christmas biscuits and stuff. But if you go, oh, I really like a box of really nice chocolates.
Oh, like really fancy, like Gillian chocolates, Gillian Shell chocolates.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, just, you know, or you
very
really
expensive
like...
expensive Toblerone.
Yeah. Oh, there are some of the Toblerone stuff that's come out anyway. You know, like just a nice, something a little bit more special than you would normally get someone.
Yeah.
For Christmas. And I'm like, cool. You know, if somebody likes a drink, maybe... a bottle of wine or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, a bit more thought put into it rather than name.
Yeah name.
Yes.
Or links for her, which
I think generally what it massively boils down to is just if you put actual thought and effort into who you're getting the gift for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Honestly.
It's a total non-issue.
Yeah, totally.
What is an issue often I find around Christmas is a lot of the... harder to deal with relatives.
Yes.
In particular ones perhaps that you're not out to. How would you even start with that?
So for me, it's quite weird because everyone in my family knows I'm trans.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in my family knows my boyfriend is trans.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my boyfriend are going there for Christmas, being around 14 people of my family for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
They're fine calling Dan a he, him, but because there's a member of my family who doesn't quite get it, everyone's kind of just calling me by my dead name the entire time. So I think there's one or two people that are going to be there this year who will call me by Josie, but the entire time it's going to be Josie and then dead name, and then I'll not know what to react to. But thankfully, it's not a hostile environment. It's just irritating.
But if it's not hostile, can't you say to them, we...
Correction.
Yeah, correction.
I have.
So I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
It's a... yeah, that's, I just, so for me, most of my family are quite, they don't get it, but they're supportive.
That's good.
They'll either, they struggle with my pronouns more than they struggle with my name.
Mm.
And I kind of, sometimes I just have to let it go.
Yeah.
But I enlist like people's help. So my sisters, my cousins and stuff, and I'll be like, I literally said to them before this, I'm really stressing going into this. Can you correct them if they say something? And, you know, because you doing it all the time, it just wears you out.
Yeah. 100%. That's why I don't do it anymore.
Yeah. I would find allies. That's what I would do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I've got one particular cousin who just refuses to call me, like, and that cousin doesn't come around anymore. So,
yeah.
Well, that's
when you have the option of choosing that.
Yeah.
Definitely, that's the way to go about it.
Absolutely.
Being thrown in with a lot of family that you can't choose necessarily is often quite uncomfortable.
Before I was out, I used to set up a WhatsApp group or a Signal group or whatever of people who knew me, who I was out to, and who knew how difficult this was going to be, so that I could go to them, this is really stressful, can you just please tell me I'm who I am, and like, and just to check in with them. And we would have like check-ins, and then if I desperately needed to get away, one of them would call me if they could and be like, hey, and then I would go, I've got to take a call, and even don't sometimes didn't even stay on that call. I would just go into a room and pretend to be having a call.
Honestly, that is a fantastic approach, because it can be very easy at this time of year with everything that can potentially go on with us to get overwhelmed. So something like that, that's a fantastic idea. Genuinely, I might have to steal that.
I'll do it for you if you want.
Yeah, like for real.
Absolutely.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
So for family members who might be listening in who have trans relatives, what kind of like suggestions would you say?
I think largely it goes down to what we've been saying, like in this episode of the negatives. If you literally use the person's name and pronouns, you are sorted 99% of the way there. Yeah. Don't get them a gift that will be outwardly offensive.
Yeah.
That will get you the extra 1%.
Yep. And definitely correct the other people when they get
and
it wrong.
Put the effort in when in an open area, in a shared space, to be the bigger person and to say, that's not correct.
Mm-hmm. I feel like also not trying too hard to be like overly supportive, because that could be overwhelming.
Yes. You don't want to sound generally annoying.
Yeah.
I think if you're being overbearing,
bring
in that
up
sense,
every 5 seconds that this person is trans and
generally just annoying.
Yeah.
running interference.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like if a conversation goes towards a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you go, oh, have you heard about this? Mm-hmm. Nan.
That's very frustrating.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that's happened a few times in my household. when I used to live with my parents and my sister comes around, and the conversation kind of steers towards not great. My sister kind of interrupts and be like, oh, have you heard about this?
You can watch it happen live, and it's very uncomfortable to watch it happen live from an outside perspective. So I understand why it happens.
Uh-huh.
But no, I think generally just treating a person with respect.
That would be nice.
That is an absolutely phenomenal start, that you wouldn't be surprised how far it will get you. If you just treat somebody with respect, you get respect back.
Mm-hmm.
It is unfortunately that simple when it comes to Christmas time.
Yeah. So for those who don't have that kind of support system in Christmas, again, like we said in one of the previous episodes, for support resources, we have some we have a resource page on our website that people can kind of...
Yes, everything that's available on our website, on our resources page, will be available over the holiday times. Even when we're not available as a charity, everything else is still available. You can still call, you can still email. That's there. So that's very, very, very important to remember. Christmas is always a very hard time for any LGBT person, and as we've talked about on this show, trans people are very, very marginalized throughout the world. So if you do need any help this Christmas, please check out the links that we have available on our social media.
And I would add, it's okay to struggle. Just remember that Christmas does end.
It does eventually.
It does end.
And it only comes once a year, and we can all be thankful for that.
Yes, yes. As soon as we're out the other side of it, we will all be celebrating.
Yes. So that was Trans Christmas. If anyone wants any advice, wants to chat, or has any other queries, feel free to follow us on social media at BTransNB, and make sure you tune into the next episode of What's the Tea, where we'll be talking about New Year's resolutions.
Lovely.
Remember to follow BTransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.